Welcome to Ghost Talk, 90 informative minutes featuring the very latest news from the paranormal world, information on the latest detection equipment, and of course, your comments and questions with your hosts, intuitive paranormal investigator Elizabeth Harbin and paranormal psychologist Dr. Chuck Murphy. And now, here's Elizabeth.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Ghost Talk. I'm your host. Oh, I'm trying to figure out who am I. I'm Elizabeth Harvey, and I'm here with...
Look at the name badge. The name badge. That's why we did that. Hello,
oh,
I'm
my
Elizabeth.
God. Yes. Oh. And, of course, I'm here with Dr. Chuck Murphy, and the reason I do find this rather funny is because Chuck and I were just talking about how there were so many different things that we were supposed to do for the name of the show and changes and intros and those kinds of things and our promos and you name it. And for some unknown reason, Chuck and I normally right after the show, within a couple of days, we get back in touch with each other and go, okay, let's do the next promo, get it ready so that we can do our advertising and so forth. And so for this month, for some unknown reason, neither one of us got in touch with each other. Neither one of us really even thought about promos or anything along those lines. So when we got in touch with each other this week to get ready for the show, that's one of the things we realized. And I was just talking with Chuck, and he brought up something really fascinating to me. I just love the idea of what if or maybe or how come. So, Chuck, talk to the audience, if you would, and just mention to them what you were saying to me when we were talking about this distraction that seems to be going on at present time.
It actually is kind of a little deeper than just energy itself getting us. The general consensus on all the news, and this is not ever to be political, okay? But is that there's a lot of distraction being thrown out and pushed by various politicians. Leave it at that. And whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. The fact is that's the energy. And we as spiritualists or intuitives know every action has an energy attached. And I don't totally buy into the theory that, hey, you know, there's all these devils and demons trying to thwart our work. I don't know that we're very popular maybe in some of those circles, but I don't think that somebody's going out of their way either. Anyway, my point is, I do believe that the energies oppose as well as encourage. And I feel right now, because of our increased sensitivity, we are really susceptible to this sort of distracted energy that's going around where I can't even remember pants. And you're going, what the hell was my name? It was there a minute ago.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I really feel, and this is coming from, you know, I deal with 10 or 15 students a week and you know, a lot of clients. We don't have to get all that. But you know, that seems to be a real common theme all of a sudden. Is everybody's going, my God, what is wrong with me? Do I need Gico Biloba or Prevagen or something? I mean, I'm just forgetting everything, you know. I can't imagine that I don't remember to feed the dog. I mean, I've fed this dog for 12 years. Why do I, you know, how come I can't remember?
Right.
And so,
right.
I mean, I've just heard little stories like that all week long. So, I mean, and it's only Wednesday, right? So, I really think, you know, that line that I think is real popular in Wiccan, and I've heard it for years, as above, so below. And if this energy is real that we talk about for the next hour or so, well, then my goodness, it's got to have an effect. And I really believe we are seeing. What's happening is we're not seeing angels or devils flying through the sky or the heavens parting some great mount of transfiguration level event. but that's never the way this works. It's always very subtle, very insidious, very quiet. And hey, if I was the devil and there really is such a thing, this would be the way I would do it, you know? So
right, major distractions.
Exactly.
And especially
so
if you're talking,
I don't have to not
about
believe
the info.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't have to believe it.
Right.
Yeah, I could just not do it. And by not doing it, I'm doing the same as if I was talking against it. So that's what I think.
And,
I think that's a big part of it. That getting old has nothing to do with it.
Absolutely not. That has nothing to do with it at all.
I keep saying that to myself.
I am fascinated by the fact that it was this month, though, you know, August. I know it's hot. I know there have been a lot of, you know, the temperature has really skyrocketed here in the in the Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth area. But what I do find extraordinary, one of the people that I've been talking with just this past week had made, of course, now it makes sense that we're talking about it might not be a bad idea for a lot of us who are in the spiritual community or who are connected to, let's say, outside sources, that it would not be a bad idea, seriously, for us to make our lists, like for the day. Like, okay, today I know I need to do so-and-so and such-and-such. Now, I used to use Post-it notes religiously. I would, you know, I use Post-it notes on everything. Okay, I got to get this done, got to get that done. But I kind of got away from that. But now that you and I talked about it, we had, you know, other people, like you said, your students and mine as well, were starting to discuss this, that's probably not a bad idea is to make our list small. You know, don't put a lot on our plate, but to start making notes of, okay, I need to have this, I need to get the promo, I need to do this, and actually be aware.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I thanked God, Spirit, whatever, so many times for the simple fact that I have a electronic calendar, because if I was supposed to remember appointments, boy, would we be in trouble, you know? I need that. If this stuff is real, think about this. If I was to say to you, or if we were to say to our listeners, summarize the top three feelings or emotions, if you will, that you have felt expressed in the last, say, 30 days. What is it? Well, distrust, confusion, a distraction. Those would be the top ones, I bet. I mean, I'm willing to say that. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I would assume.
Distraction.
And
distraction,
what,
for sure.
What are we just now discussing? We're saying, hey, why are we all so distracted? Well, if we are, in fact, spiritual intuitives, if we are sensitive to energy, i.e. clairsentience, then that would be the logical conclusion. That's exactly what you would expect, you know, for us to be. Oh, my God, why am I just, I'm having such a hard time focusing. I can't seem to stay on a thought. What is going on? Well, it's because of the ambient energy around you is disruptive and loud enough at this point that you're feeling the effects, you know? I mean, it's not that big a jump at all, actually. So, yeah, I think that's exactly
what's
going on.
Well, it's interesting.
And, you know, COVID is, there's a lot of people saying, hey, we're in that lull, which I don't know if you'd call this a lull, but, you know, that in the next few weeks, you're going to see this thing go nuts, you know? You're already seeing other countries starting to go, oh, got another little pop-up here, you know? So everybody talks about a bad fall, and, you know, that not a bad fall like you fell, but bad fall.
Falling and hurting yourself, but
Yeah. No, we're talking about the fall season coupled with the flu. Hey, this could get really serious. But don't worry, Mr. Pillow's got the answer, so we're good.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Maybe that's
I'm sorry. That did kind of – even I said, oh, my goodness, you must be joking. I mean
– I know.
I just like, okay, well, all right. That was interesting. So anyway, this was fascinating. I love talking about this sort of thing because it gives – it gives me perspective. If I can kind of rationalize, even if it's in my mind, that, okay, maybe this distraction is actually global and it's not necessarily just me as an individual, that it could be one of those situations where I'm working on a project and then I take time off and then all of a sudden I get that kind of confused feeling of, I'm not sure. That what could be happening is that I'm just tapping into the global, let's say, confusion or global distraction, which explains a lot about what's happening to a lot of my clients and yours too, you know, that confused
exactly.
feeling. What's going on?
That's
well,
it.
Let me ask
that's,
you this.
That's...
One of the people that got in touch with me this week, let me ask you this question, because this kind of goes right on into what we're talking about. This question is from Brenda, and her question was, "Dear Dr. Chuck, are ghosts or spirits being affected by the COVID? Do they have any words for us? In other words, do you think they have any messages for us? And if they do, what do you think that would be?"
Well, yes, I do believe by spirits we mean people that are passing from
right.
COVID. I'm assuming that's what it is.
Yes.
Their general feeling, I just had a lady yesterday whose uncle died 3 days ago. Al, actually. Anyway, so yeah, we're dealing with that on a personal basis. But the overall feeling is sometimes there, meaning those who have passed, inability to quite get their head around the fact that we live in a world that has the possibility of chaos. In other words, chaos is a day-to-day factor with us. Yes, we live in a world that we generally hope is, you know, all going to work out for the best, but we have free will, therefore we have chaos. You change your mind, and if you do, well, that could be chaotic for somebody. So these people are feeling shortchanged, but not accepting the fact that they were shortchanged by a chaotic or random act of fate, which that is part of what plays a, you know, day-to-day role with you and me. So most people, or hopefully the most, get to live the full extent of what they laid out, but there's always going to be somebody who gets distracted, runs a red light, hits your car, or you're going to, you know, overdose. For people that have addiction issues, you're going to be cleaning a gun that goes on. I mean, there's always going to be these weird random things that happen. And so that mm-hmm. is one of the issues with these spirits that are now additional population for the quote, energy reality out there. They're unhappy. They're confused. And almost all across the board, even if they're at peace with being in spirit, still feel cheated, you know, or slighted. Like, I guess, how people felt when colleges closed down mid-semester. They're like, whoa, what? Hey, what happened mm-hmm. the rest of my semester? So, you know, they feel like they came out on the short end of this life, which they very well may have. But, you know, I firmly believe that everything's going to work out in the long run. So just hang in there. But this additional daily population, which is growing kind of weirdly quiet, I've noticed, of 1,000 plus a day, that's 1,000 extra spirits a day added to the spirit population. And, you know, that does have an effect, most assuredly. She's, I forget, you said her name, I apologize.
Brenda.
I forgot.
Brenda.
Brenda,
that's
yeah.
That's okay. Look, I've got her name written down, so that's the only reason I'm good on this. I've got it written down, so we're good. Yes.
I just wrote it down myself.
Yeah.
So, okay. But,
okay.
Yeah, so I
Brenda.
Hope that answers your question. Are some actively pursuing, because I got asked this the other day, retaliatory or vengeance, retaliatory acts or vengeance on people? Unfortunately, we have found that to be the case in some instances. Pretty minor, but in some instances, yeah, that's precisely what they're doing. So, you know, that's half the reason why you and I are feeling like, boy, this, you know, kind of the quote Obi-Wan Kenobi, there's a seems to be a disturbance of the force here. Well, that's what we're feeling, you know. So I hope that.
Well, let me ask you this, because this kind of goes right back into what Brenda was asking, because I've noticed this, especially, let's say more so this week than ever before. I have noticed if someone is asking about a loved one that has passed from COVID as compared to somebody who has passed from, let's say, natural circumstances, the energy that I pick up from COVID almost makes me feel bad. I almost feel sick sometimes. And
most
then
the
energy from the person.
Well, I was going to say, both of those energies are still mulling over that whole passing, going, what the heck just happened? You know, how did I get here? What? Whoa, wait, I thought I had a cold, you know?
Yes.
Don't forget, a lot of them are placed in comas at pretty early stages. And so they have technically been out of it. They don't really know the lead up to what maybe happened. And so they're finding out sort of after the fact. Like, oh, by the way, you might notice you don't have a body. Well, sorry about that.
Here's
what happened. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they were away from their family. They couldn't be with loved ones at the end. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff. So you've got all those emotions. They don't just poof go away when they lose physicality.
Right.
They remain.
Well,
and their energy.
That is something I think that is very important to people who are. And here's another question I've got for you. So, I mean, this is just continuing with Brenda's question. I have noticed more people wanting to learn more about their skills, more about their gifts, more about what makes them tick. You know, they can they pick up things or they know things. Are you finding on your side of town, like I'm finding on my side of town, that there is this new wave of energy that's coming into our reality that says, yes, I want to know more about what's happening? Are you finding that as well?
Oh, yes, most assuredly. There's the good side to everything. And it's not because I'm Mr. Pollyanna. You've known me decades, so you know that ain't the case. I can be as pessimistic as the best of them. But I do believe that no matter how many things get, we somehow or another manage with the right attitude to make something positive come. And what I'm feeling in the way of, quote, positive, is that a lot of people, this is actually waking them up. This is actually making them stop and go, why am I feeling this? This is weird. I feel like I shouldn't be feeling unless I'm really spiritual. Oh, my gosh. Maybe I ought to check into it. So, and, you know, people that then check in with you or me or whoever, they start taking some of the steps we show them, and they're like, oh, my gosh, that's really fixing it. That's making me better. I feel more in control now, or the attacks have dropped off or whatever, you know, so. It's back to what we've been saying all along. You either believe this or you just have to throw it out. You can't be in the middle. There's no two ways around it. Either it's real, and this population is all around us, and their energy has just as much effect, if not more, when they're in spirit than when they're actually here in physical form. You know, either it does or it doesn't. If it does, well then, hey, it makes perfect sense that that's what's going on now. No, I mean, yeah, I know we still try to understand it and explain it away with religious allegories and whatnot, but the reality is just that. That's the reality. Do you really feel Al is mad that he died early? And if she says, well, yeah, I feel like that's really what he's telling me. That's what he's telling you, okay? I mean, that's the reality.
So a lot of people are, well, you know, obviously there's a lot of people who are literally stuck at home by themselves for quarantine and mm-hmm. those kinds of purposes and whatever. And some of the things that I've been told is people are finding out they just don't like themselves. And they're having a difficult time trying to figure out why things are not working, but it's because they have not come to an agreement with themselves. What do you think?
Exactly. And if I was a primary guy and the person I'm working with was caught up in a lot of self focus and probably erroneously caught up in that, or at least to their detriment caught up in it, then one of the things I would be striving to get my, quote, human to hear or feel or see is, mm-hmm. hey, before we start working on the girl next door, maybe we ought to work on you. See where you fit into all this.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And
yeah.
So that would be a positive thing. It might well be painful at first. Yeah, I totally agree with that. My couple years out in the desert were not anything that I would in any way want to repeat. But I wouldn't trade for the world because that's what I needed. You know, that's what kind of got my head on straight. So
yeah.
If we could say no pain, no gain and go to the gym and make ourselves hurt, then why do we fight this? Just because it's hard or painful.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what that answer.
There was a situation that happened today. I had a client and she's pretty evolved. I mean, it's not like she doesn't know things. I mean, she does. She's very in tune with what's happening. But just like all of us, sometimes we lose our sight to the goal. We're missing our opportunity mm-hmm. goal. We know it's there. We're just
exactly.
not paying attention.
Sure.
And so she called me and we're talking. And one of the things that I just heard very loudly was, you just need to stop. You just need to just stop. And the other thing is, you're very powerful and your belief system is either going to make this happen or it's not. You're either going, it's like black or white. It's either going to happen or it isn't. So we finished our discussion and I bet it wasn't 30 minutes later. I got a text message from her and the question she had asked me, it came to pass. And it was like, you could just feel her belief system just skyrocket. Because it was like she recognized the fact that if she didn't do something about it internally or inside from her own self, that the outside situation was not going to change and she needed that to change. So she worked on it for maybe 30 minutes, but it was just one of the most miraculous things that I experienced in a while. So let me ask you this. You know, we're talking about sometimes we're forgetting things and being distracted. Maybe there are other forces that are, you know, causing those to happen. And, yeah, maybe that mm-hmm. is, you know, one of those issues. But on the other hand, do you, you know, we're talking about those aha moments or those magic moments that occur. Are you finding that when people are actually going and experiencing all these different things, that sometimes they're having almost an instantaneous positive reaction or an instantaneous result instead of having to struggle and wait, that their question is so-and-so and such, and then almost overnight it gets answered in a positive way. Are you seeing those as well?
Well, I am, and I firmly believe that it is coupled with the energy itself, because it seems as though everything is moving faster. Also hear the comment very often, my God, time seems to be flying by. I can't believe it. It's only, what, 70 days to the election? Are you kidding? Oh, my God, when did that happen? Our feeling of time awareness seems to have been in ways that I have no clue to expound with, seem to have accelerated somehow. So, mm-hmm. I think their results are coming quicker as well. I mean, if you speed up the river, all the water speeds up, not just the little part in front of you. So, I totally agree. And I do totally see that, you know. I don't know that it's really a bad thing, actually. It helps a lot of people, I think, that they get such an immediate result, you know, because you and I both know we want patience and we want it now, damn it.
Yesterday.
So, you know, the fact that it's moving quicker actually works in their favor, I think.
Well, I do too, because we're talking about, in some cases, let's say maybe a negative situation is happening very quickly. But if people recognize that the positive can happen even quicker, or let's just say, you know, boom, there it is. It's just like overnight, it got changed. Then it could hopefully give people more hope about the prospects of, you know, things can change and they can happen very, very quickly, but it really is up to you. I mean, you really have to think about what it is you're thinking or your belief system or, you know, those kinds of things. Do you think that would be an accurate thought on that?
Well, it's look at it this way. There's some radio stations whose music I like. And there's others I don't care so much for. But the point remains, they're all radio stations, and they're all broadcasting at the same time, and they're all right there. So if the good, you know, the bad, rather, is going to come fast, could come fast, well, then there's no reason to believe the good won't either. I mean, they're both the same basic thing. They're energy, and it's really, what are you paying attention to? So, yeah, I mean, I do believe that just physically counting, like, 14 days is usually what happens, you know, it takes that long. And then they're like, oh, it's only been 2 days. Oh, my God. Whoa, that was so fast. Well, yeah, it did speed up. But the energy that caused that is the same energy that would cause it to go bad. It happened, and you, well, it didn't just happen. You purposely held a very positive thought or energy level, and the universe responded. It just responded quick. That's all. Unlike the Postal Service. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the Postal Service. Well, we need to say
positive
energy for sure. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it puts a whole new meaning to your checks in the mail. So if we could just get our bills to be slow, I mean, you know, that would, you know, I could almost accept that if we would get our bills slow.
I'm going to vote for whoever says we're going to do the ballots first, then we'll do bills.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm all about that.
I think that's a great idea. I do. I agree with that. Let me kind of change gears here. I still have a ton of questions, and I still have some responses from the tests that were given. But we got this really amazing email from, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, Vernell, V-E-R-N-E-L-L-E. And she says, well, let me get my glasses on so I can read it. So she says,
sure.
As I are posting about your blog on the Blog Talk Radio website, the reason why I am contacting you is because my boyfriend Charles has passed on this past March the 17th, which obviously was St. Patrick's Day. I love and miss him so much. We used to have long conversations about all kinds of things, either when I was with him or over the phone, which is what I also miss with him. Obviously, that, you know, talking back and forth. Since his quick and sudden passing, things have been very quiet, and I think of him all the time. So my question is, I would like to know, if possible, if I can connect with him and others who have passed, perhaps even her animals, which would be cats, without the help of having to go to a psychic. She said, I've heard of different techniques that can be used to contact loved ones on the other side, and I'm not sure if I can remember the names of the techniques, like you can use a mirror as a portal and you can concentrate and visualize the person standing before you, or somehow use radio frequencies. There are some of the techniques that I have heard, but I have forgotten. So she's going through the same thing we are. Also, I was wondering, is it safe to contact friends, loved ones, and pets on the other side? Or if you have to only go through a psychic, that is what my question is. Do I need to go through a psychic, or can I do this myself? I have some music he used to listen to, and sometimes I repeatedly play this music, and sometimes I wonder if he still listens to it on the other side as I play his favorite tunes. I also wonder if he'll show up. I was thinking about buying a wall mirror. I hope this isn't too much. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a wonderful day. Sincerely, Vernell. And that's to Dr. Chuck. So my question is, I think you need to talk to her about this. There's so many different techniques and things that are involved. So what do you think for Vernell?
Well, first off, Vernell, we're sorry for your loss.
Exactly.
He is, I want to stress, he's not on the other side as though that were someplace else. He's right here. Just as real as you or me. So do I. It's easier to see us and much easier for us to manipulate items. But his presence or him, you know, is still here just as it was prior. If that seems hard to believe, hold out that thing at the end of your arm in front of you and tell me what that is. You would say, I'm pretty sure, that's my hand. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's your hand. It's not you. It's your hand, just like that's your car or your TV or your telephone. So you are not this physical part. You're the part in there working the physical part. And the physical part is just a machine to navigate this particular dimensional space. So, you know, we could waste the whole rest of the show on this, or spend the rest of the show, I should say waste. But my firm answer is he's not gone. He's like, right there. Secondly, without training and a lot of instruction, kind of a worry word about this, the techniques you're talking about are subject to a couple of things. They're subject to you being convinced you're fooling yourself, which that's, you hear that a lot. Oh, you're just kidding yourself. You got yourself all worked up because you listened to the music or whatever. An answer to your question, does he still listen to the music? Of course he does. Why would he not? Anyway, you and I both have learned to do things intuitively, which means without mechanization or instrumentality. We just rely on ourselves. And there's any difference between, say, you, I, and Vernell except training, that's all. And I think with the proper coaching or training or mentoring or call it what you want, yeah, of course, I know you would be able to contact him. I have a suspicion, simply based on your energetic connection with him, you're probably able to connect with him already, but just to be on the safe side, I would err on the side of caution and say, I bet Elizabeth would agree, with training, you would have no issue at all. You'd be perfectly able to. And again, I'm not saying you can't now, but I think what Liz, you answered this with me. What's the greatest thing I find in students that holds them back is belief in themselves, trust in the information they're getting. And so right now you're kind of on the downside. You already don't believe or have doubts as to whether or not you can talk. Well, the first step to being able to talk with him is to believe you can talk with him. I mean, that may sound stupid, but that's actually the absolute truth. If you don't believe you're really hearing him, if you think it's your mind, whatever, then you're not going to believe it. So, no, you're not going to be able to talk with it technically. But the actual conversation, as you and I both know, Liz, is as simple as this conversation we're having now. I mean, that's what you and I do all day. I mean, we talk.
Yeah.
People pay us to be in the middle. Yeah, I get it. But I always like to leave my clients and students both with, you know, you really don't need me. I mean, to do this, you know, you can do this yourself. You really can. These other techniques, using the mirrors, using candles, using scrying, using photograph. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. They all have a grain of truth in them. But they also have areas that could be hijacked. And you know, I don't want a guy who's read a lot of books on thoracic surgery operating on my heart. I want a guy that's been doing this for 30 years. So,
right.
you know, I'm not saying he couldn't do it. He might, but I'd feel better, you know, with the pro.
Well, yeah.
So my thought to you would be find somebody you can trust that you feel comfortable with, and then learn the techniques. They're not that hard, and in a month or two, you got them, and you'll be getting there all throughout those months, so you don't have to wait 90 days before you can talk to him, for sure.
Right.
Well,
that
makes
sense to
you? I mean, do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only thing that I would add to this is, in, from my perspective with the people that I work with sometimes, what causes the lack of information or feeling that they are being able to connect with another person is the fact that they're still in grief. And because they're still in grief, it's very hard to believe that you're actually connecting with someone if you're in pain or if you feel like they're gone.
Exactly. The lower vibrational energies,
mm-hmm.
grief, despair, confusion, anger, frustration, all of that, they all resonate
mm-hmm.
in that very low red energy level. And to give an example that everybody can understand, it's like a boombox that you've got like Whitesnake on playing as loud as you can while you try to talk to somebody. And you're going, hello, I can't hear you. Whoa, wait, you know. Well, that's because that energy of yours is radiating so loud out of your
mm-hmm.
feelings, your grief, your sadness, whatever. You're right. It totally blocks out their ability to connect. And if they do, you can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much background noise. So, yeah, you do have to learn. Here's a quickie trick that works. I mean, please be careful with it, but just think to the happiest moment you had with him. The absolute happiest moment, maybe a couple of them. And then if you can sit and hold without any other, you don't need a candle or mirrors or any of that. If it helps, great, but you don't need it. Think about and remember, recall consciously those moments of great happiness with him, even if it's staked. I mean, even if you have to force yourself. And then hold those thoughts for 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. That gives your aura or auric field enough time to adjust to this happy level, which removes the background noise, and they are much easier, it facilitates connecting with them much
mm-hmm.
easier, and it makes connecting more certain. I can't say it's 100%, but it certainly improves your chances. That's a trick I give to people all the time. But
well,
you've got to have...
That's a great tool.
Not an imagined happy moment, but an actual happy moment. See, it's got to be something that really happened, not imaginary. So you got to think to moments the two of you were just laughing your ass off or having a
mm-hmm.
great old time out with friends, whatever, something where you were really feeling good. And you'll notice that you'll start to physiologically present. In other words, your body will start reacting to it. You'll start actually feeling happy or excited. As soon as that happens, that means you're aura is shifting, and now you should be in good shape to talk with it.
Right.
Yeah, it works.
Well, there's something kind of magical with the fact that he did pass on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know why, but I just find that to be...
Oh, the top of the morning to you, boy.
Yeah, it just, there's something about that. And the other thing that, you know, while you're talking and we're thinking about this individual and her, The one thing that I kept hearing in my head is a 12-string guitar. I have no idea where it's coming from. I just hear a 12-string guitar. And I'm thinking, those are like, okay, there's a guitar playing here. It's a 12-string. I have no idea what that means. But if you were in front of me and I was doing a reading, that's what I would just blurt out. Okay, I'm hearing a 12-string guitar. I'm hearing music. This is what I hear. Now, sometimes... you have to sit in and kind of think, you know, what, okay, oh, yeah, that's right. He loved that 12-string guitar. Maybe it was a riff in a
and
song.
He may have.
It was just this
yeah.
you know, this was like, wow, he really, or maybe he wanted to learn how to play it, or maybe that was something he did. Maybe he loved to do that, or maybe he loved jazz or something. But I find that extraordinary.
Sure.
that if you're, even as you and I talk, we still get information. You know, there's still
exactly.
information there. But sometimes we say, well, this is what we're getting. I'm not quite sure exactly what that's attached to, but this is where I'm going to go. And it's just instantaneous. I hear it. This is it. And let them go with that. She could do the same thing.
Exactly. Now, understand, I mean, you know, of course, for us, and thank heaven for that. Whoa, stop. My computer just started doing it. Maybe that was him. Maybe he used to like the first day of the internet.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean,
maybe so. Seriously.
Page just
that's
opened
really
up and
no
it started
joke.
Playing music. That was crazy. Yeah, that was
oh, my
awesome.
God.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
weird stuff happens on this show all the time, so that's just perfect. That's perfect.
Well, I mean, you and I set the pace. It's not going to get much weirder. so, you know what I mean? Anyway, that's the way to get it. I mean, that's how it feels, just like that.
Yeah.
It just feels
yeah.
normal, natural, and you blurt it out. That's, you know, why we teach breathe and blurt, for heaven's sake. That's the whole reason we call it that, because that's literally what we're taught. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, there's Vernell. I was that Vernell that did that?
Vernell.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I would simply say either contact us later, you know, again, for some guidance possibly of where you could go. Maybe email Liz and get a copy of the test. You might be shocked at what you show. And then, you know, find a mentor that you can trust. And you can't trust everybody. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
It is.
And learn, you know, and you won't have any problem. I don't think. I think she'll be shocked at how easy she does or how easy this is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's complicated,
but
it's really
that
not.
It's really not. I'm really glad you brought that up about the test. We had 25 people get in touch wanting to take the test. And their psychic
mm-hmm.
test. And
yeah.
it was a gift given to everybody from Dr. Chuck. So threw it out there last
yeah.
month. You know, if you want to take this test, you know, do and they ate it up. People just ate it up. They just, they couldn't get
good.
Enough of this stuff. And I had
so it wasn't
one
their
person.
Dog? It wasn't their dog that ate the homework? It was them?
No, it really wasn't. It was them. So I had one
okay, now,
person.
You know, I didn't write that. I didn't write those tests. I didn't write either. So, you know, it's not like we
wow.
have any dog in that fight. So, I mean, those
no,
are two separate researchers that did it. So,
yeah.
yeah. It worked.
Well, one of the
it's
people
accurate as could be.
That, oh, it's amazing. Well, this person, Colleen took the test, and she sent me a message.
Colleen?
And she... Yeah, Colleen. And she
mm-hmm.
said, what does it mean if I answered everything yes? So there's,
you should
there's
be on
questions
the show with
in
us.
Here.
I mean, seriously. Come on. It means you need one of us. You need one of us teaching you, and you need it now. I mean, my God, you're bursting at the seams, my dear.
Oh, well, you
nice,
know, that.
What a nice Irish name to follow up Brunel's question.
From
right?
the, yeah, Brunel's
oh,
question.
Colleen,
yeah, absolutely.
My little Irish laugh. Yeah. Colleen's
well,
actually my oldest daughter's middle name, so I'm kind of part
oh,
of
oh, my
that.
Gosh, no. Oh, oh wow. Oh, well,
that's my oldest daughter.
The Saints,
Valerie
the Saints are with us tonight. Yes. Now
oh,
there
have to go brawling.
I found that to be absolutely extraordinary because my first thought was, you need to be on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
You need to be, you know,
if you, answered
you need
yes,
to be talking
about.
Oh,
girl.
Yeah. She said, she
yeah,
said
are you related
yes
to
all
Sylvia
of them.
Brown or something? What is it?
Seriously.
That's
but my
good.
My
yeah.
thought, my thought also was the fact that that's a lot to walk around with. You know, that's an awful lot of either energy or questions or thought processes and those kinds of things to walk around with, because these questions that are in the test are absolutely remarkable because they ask you questions that you really don't think about, that it's not something that, you know, is like in the forefront. And one of the questions that I think this would be a good thing to bring up. One of the questions in this test is this: can you feel or sense changes in the weather before they happen? And do strong weather patterns have an intense physical or emotional impact on you? Now, we just had that major storm come through. Did that affect you physically or mentally in some way when it came through this past week?
I personally find big thunderstorms both energizing and relaxing, which I understand, mm-hmm. you know, is from the energy.
Right.
I'm the guy who runs out to be a part of the tornado or the hurricane or whatever, you know. The
right.
bigger the better. I love it. I just love the energy from it. And I love to see nature. You know, maybe some would say at her worst, but I certainly know the result sometimes that's the case. But,
right.
yeah, I mean, yeah, of course they do. And think about this. If you go on to any of the sites where you would buy, say, quote, ghost hunting equipment, especially EMF and other presence devices, you'll notice the things they use are EMF, which there's plenty of that in a storm. They use barometric pressure, and they use temperature. And all three of those play a major role in just about any of those storms that we're discussing. So if it's going to be precise enough that we can devise static electricity. So the very things that we use to actually empower our devices for measurement are the exact ingredients in a storm. So of course we're going to feel an effect from it. I think depending on where you are in your spiritual maturity, if you will, you may feel it detrimentally, not realizing that all that extra energy isn't that you had five cups of coffee. It's the static around you, that EMF that is energizing you. And you may not know what to do with it. You may feel like you're on a sugar high, but, you know, because I've heard it called that a lot. But what's actually energizing you during the storm, you may see as anxiety or thunder fear or whatever, is most likely the actual energy of the storm itself. Why is every scary movie about ghosts, goblins, and whatever during a thunderstorm? Because that's when they show up the most. And why do they show up the most? Because that's when the most energy is available. They don't give a flip that it's raining and lightning. It's not going to hurt them. They're there for the energy. I mean,
of course,
sometimes it's
yeah.
too obvious. It's too obvious. So.
So let me ask you this, and I think I've asked you this before, but since we're talking about forgetting things, I just have to be honest, I have forgotten. You were talking about the EMF meter, you know, the EMF mm-hmm. meter, and
right.
aren't you the one that told me if I were in the next thunderstorm that rolled around that I should turn that on? Just to
yes.
see what would happen during the thunderstorm. Dadgummit, I totally forgot all about that. And this past one would have been perfect. Whoa.
A bazillion years
great.
Ago, when I actually would take a job as a lifeguard, we had to wear, or actually my son had to wear, because he sort of followed in Daddy's footsteps that way anyway. Long story short, he had to wear these little they're pretty primitive back then in the 80s and 90s, but they were called lightning sensors. And really all they were EMF meters that were set up to detect the EMF given off by lightning. And, for example, people may or may not know, if you stand high towers like a radio tower that's got the big guy wires,
mm-hmm.
you can see lightning, mm-hmm. say, 4 miles away. You see the lightning strike. You'll hear the guy wires go snap and then make a little snap pop noise. What was that? Well, that
yes.
was the EMF as it went past you. That's what it was. And
no.
That's what they're doing as lifeguards is wearing those devices, and if there's a storm within, you set the distance or the range. I thought it was up to 30 miles. They would set theirs for like 15 miles, and so if there was any lightning within 15 miles of them, the detector would go off, and they would know, okay, everybody out of the pool, storm's coming, let's go, out of the pool, out of the pool, out of the pool. And that's what they would be used for. But when you buy like the millimeter or any of the other devices, including the REM pod to a degree, all they're doing is measuring EMF the same way, a lot more sensitive and with a lot lower threshold for triggering the device, but it's the same thing. And so, yeah, if you turn that on during a lightning storm, certainly lightning within a 5-mile radius would trigger it, if not maybe even further, depending on your device and how sensitive it is.
Wow.
But if they're actually EMF, electromagnetic field, so when electrons move, which is what energy is, it creates a field, a magnetic field, electromagnetic field, because it's generated by the electricity. So that's what EMF is. That's why we use electricity, because it does stuff. We capitalize on that magnetic, that EMF effect of it. So anyway, like if you have a computer, a laptop especially, if you can look at the power cord about 6 or 8 inches from where it plugs into your car, into your machine, there's going to be a magnet. There's a round, big round object around the power cord. That is a magnet that is set to remove any extraneous EMF before it gets to the computer, so it doesn't disrupt the computer's processes. That's what it's doing there. That's why it's on there. Anyway, so yes, if you turned it on during a thunderstorm, you should most assuredly get results. Now, it might be when lightning hits your front yard. It just depends on the sensitivity.
Yeah. Wow. That's
literally what it's doing. But if you stand under a TV tower or a radio tower, you know, which is never a great idea to begin with during a thunderstorm, but you'll see lightning 4, 5, 6 miles away. You'll see the strike. Mm-hmm. Before you ever hear the thunder, you'll hear the guy wires that support it go snap. And, I mean, literally, it's a pop noise. And it lasts for maybe a half a second. And that is the electromagnetic field just zoom, going past. And when it hits those big wires, it makes a snap or a little arc, what it is. And
the only time I ever heard that, and I had no idea that that's what I was hearing, was when I lived in San Antonio. And, you know, those spaces that they have where the power lines run through the community, you know, and they just take up like 8, 9 blocks and they just go. Well, our house was, I think, 2 houses away from one of those big towers that, you know, the power lines and whatever.
Right.
And when we were outside, I remember, I can just almost hear it. We would hear, we were like saying that the wires were like talking, because you would hear this real high buzz sound, like they were buzzing.
Uh-huh.
It was like a buzz.
Uh-huh.
It was just coming through. But we never put it together with the fact of having the storms.
Electromagnetic fields are why people can take fluorescent tubes, you know, those long lights that go in the ceiling in a lot of places, and stand underneath one of those high power wires, and it'll light up. Well, how's it doing that? It's the electromagnetic field being generated by that high power, high tension line above you. It extends out 30, 40, 50, 100 feet sometimes, and it's more than enough to power your fluorescent tube. Freaky, but absolutely, that's what it is.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm ready for the next thunderstorm to come through. Now I've got stuff to play with. I mean,
you
gotta
be ready.
Cannot believe that. Yeah,
write yourself a lot of post-it notes so you don't forget.
I will. I will. I'm gonna have to, because that was something that I had said to myself the next time we had a major storm. And I think what happened was there's been so many months where we've not had a storm, you know, come rolling through. It's been you know, so. So lack of that, but man, I would have loved to have had that, because there was, you could feel the electricity in the air. I mean, you literally could just feel like there was this major energy coming through. But it's the first time I actually felt like oppressed, like something was pushing down, literally, mm-hmm. on my body, like it was like a low pressure or something, an actual feel to it. That's the first time that's
now,
ever happened.
Now, look at it this way. Let me ask you this. Is
uh-huh.
that not similar to what you feel when you're doing a paranormal investigation and somebody says, oh, man, this room, oh, my God, the energy in here is so thick, it's heavy, or it's depressing or whatever. That's exactly the same
thing.
It's the same
exact
reaction
right.
your body is having.
Same
thing.
Absolutely.
Energy. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But you never put those two things together unless somebody.
No.
You know, I didn't until somebody told me, and then I was like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense. I never even
Well, it does
that.
Now.
Yeah.
That's the exact same feeling. It feels like that feeling of it's an oppression kind of feel. It's like something is pushing down
mm-hmm.
on your body, like on your shoulders, or pushing down your energy, or trying to push you down like towards the ground and those kinds of things. And that's how that energy was coming through with the storm. And you could feel
exactly.
it walking when you were outside. You could feel something was coming. You just kind of knew something was going to be happening. And gee whiz, the next thing I know, it is lightening up the storm everywhere. And it's that cloud to ground lightning, that real quick boom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Man, it
and,
was
you know,
everywhere.
How do... things like, you know, when you see animals, how did they know ahead of time it was going to rain? Well, because they were sensitive and paying attention to the very thing you and I are talking about. They could feel
that
shift.
Yeah, we don't see animals.
When they feel that shift, they're like, oh, wow, I know why. Yeah, all of a sudden the birds disappear. Where'd all the birds go?
Yeah.
Well, the birds all went and hid because they could feel it coming. They knew something was up.
Well, you've heard people discuss on when tornadoes come through, and people said,
mm-hmm.
well, just give us an idea on what it was like. And these people are going, it was so quiet. You could have heard a pin drop where there were no birds, no
mm-hmm.
animals, nothing. It was like dead silence. And you're
absolutely
exactly. right. The animals are picking up on what they know to be either danger or an alert of some sort. So they go to make themselves safe.
You and I walk into a, quote, haunted location to do an investigation. One of the first things you hear people say is, oh, did you go in that room? Man, everything just seems so dead in there. There's something, the energy is just so still. It's so heavy. It's thick.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're feeling exactly the same thing. We're calling it something
right.
different, but it's really the exact same thing.
So if people wanted to know what it would be like, this is the classic example of being around
sure.
a thunderstorm, feeling that heaviness on them, feeling uncomfortable, and then
mm-hmm.
realizing that this is exactly the same kind of a feel that you would have when you would do an investigation. I just never put those two together. It was just like this was separate in my mind. But it's not. It's the exact same thing because your body is having the same type of reaction to both situations.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got it.
Wow. See, I learn something new every time you're on the show, every time we discuss stuff like this. I just learn.
Well, thank
I learn
you.
Something new all the time. Okay, well, let me ask you a couple more questions here.
Sure.
Then I've got, let's see, the next one is from Jennifer, and I found this one to be interesting as well. Her question was, Dr. Chuck, are there different levels of ghost or, you know, / spirits? Are there different levels of these individuals? And so, in other words, would there be somebody that would say somebody just passed, and so they're kind of just, you know, walking around like, you know, what are we doing? But then you have those that have been around for a long time. Is there a difference in, let's say, the level? I guess there wouldn't there be a different level? I mean, that makes sense to me, but I don't know. I'm asking you, are there different levels?
I think the easiest way to put it is not think of it as levels, per se, because levels have a tendency to denote judgment. Well, that level's obviously a level 3 has got to be better than level 5, you know. So we want to stay away from that. But you have, at this very moment, within a mile of your house, you have pre-K students, and you probably have a graduate student, and everything in. And that would be the same analogy I would use for the spirit world. You would have what would be considered graduate students, very smart, very hip. Hey, I've been in spirit a long time, been in spirit this life to this last life for a long, long time. I know how this shit works. And then you got people that are brand new going, whoa, what's going on, dude? You know, so, yeah, of course, just like you have the way society breaks out. You know, the joke is, or the story always is, go sit in front of a Kroger or Target or Walmart or whatever, and just stop the next 50 people with a real simple question like, I don't know, right now, ask them, are they registered to vote? Do they need any help? Well, out of those 50, you would probably get about 10 that want to kill you, tell you, get away, I've got a gun, you know. And then you would have 10 that just talk your arm off, like, here, let me show you pictures of my kids. These are my grandkids, you know. And then you would have those 30 in the middle that are some variants of that, because that's the way society breaks out. Well, that's precisely the way spirits break out, because the spirits literally are society without physicality. That's all. You're going to have bands, gangs, if some people like to call it that, of negative energies. It's like in certain parts of the country, cities, you'll have gangs. You're going to have crooked spirits. You're going to have honest ones. You're going to have sweet ones. You're going to have mean ones, just like society, because the spirit world, we have to quit making them something other than they're us. That's what they are. They're just us without a physical form. That's all. So just as society lays out, that's the way spirit lays out. So to answer your question, not in the sense of, well, this spirit's better than the other, but, you know, if this spirit is a truck driver and this spirit is a former neurosurgeon, I might put a little more stock in his medical advice than the truck driver. But that doesn't mean either one is a better person than the other, you know. If I needed my diesel repaired, I would surely go to the truck driver. Well, okay, that's the same way it is in the spirit world. This guy might be technically as a doctor more physically educated with more physical experience. Yeah, but that doesn't technically in any way, shape, or form make him better than somebody else. It just means that's what he's skilled at. That's what he knows. So the spirit world, the more we can make the spirit world on a level with us, the better we'll start to really understand it. The more we try to make it into chubby cherubs and devils running around with horns, you know. I think you even said we had a question about that.
Yeah, we did.
You know, I mean, the more confusing this is going to get, because the more I try to tell stories about Santa Claus, the more I get myself in Dutch, because I'm like, oh, did I tell you that? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's true. Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. Yeah, that's right. You know, just stick with the facts. The reality is the spirit world lays out just like our reality does, because the population of that is us. We're the ones populating it. So we have really, really, really bad, mean, evil people, as most would say, entering spirit. But we also have incredibly saintly people entering spirit, most of whom we've probably never even heard of and never will. But, you know, are just amazing people. That's just the way it is. There may be some people we think are amazingly cool in life that turn out to be horribly evil. The way it is. So, you know, the more you can see the spirit world, it is kind of a shock, because it takes away all the wah and woo woo and makes it real. And when it gets real, mm-hmm. sometimes it is a little scary. But it is real nonetheless, you know?
Well, don't you find that kind of interesting? It's on the same kind of lines that we're talking about, different levels and stuff, that sometimes, let's say you get a message from, let's say an archangel decides to step in and give a message. What I always find mm-hmm. interesting is the ones that show up. It's not always the same one. But the one that shows up is the one that has, like, more knowledge or information pertaining to the person that's either sitting in front of me or on the phone. So it's not always the Archangel Michael. It could be Raphael or, you know, any number of different people that want to show up. But it doesn't mean that they're better.
Archangel Bob, you know, I mean, if Bob knows what I'm asking about, then Bob's going to be the one to show up. You know,
then you know what's going to happen is I'm going to be reading somebody. I'm going to have Archangel Bob show up. Okay.
At my age, doctors become kind of a bigger deal in my life. So no pun intended.
Yeah. No, I get it.
If I'm having issues with my stomach, I'm going to say to my PCP, hey, do you have a enterologist. God, that's a hard word to say. that I can see. I'm not going to say I need to go see a nephrologist. What the hell?
Right.
My kidneys are fine. I want to go see somebody about my stomach. So give me somebody that knows something about stomachs. Well, that's the way the angels would be. Like, oh, God, it's Elizabeth again. She wants to know about whatever. Bob, come here. You're new up here.
Come on, Bob. Come on down.
Yeah, time
to face
some dude. My friend. Yeah, go talk to her. She'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree.
Oh, man. Archangel Bob. Okay.
But remember, too, the names that we got were only five. Michael, Ariel, Uriel, Gabriel, Raphael. And they only recently added Metatron. So, I mean, do we really believe there's only six? I mean, are you kidding me? Six?
No.
Come on,
there's hundreds, there's thousands
of archons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that one of the issues for a lot of us, and I'm just going to say for myself, let me put it that way, is I think there's so many different, let's just say energies, that do not necessarily have a name because they are nameless. Their energy is just of a different vibration. So it would be, you know, if we had to, the one that's got vibration number 43, that's an angel or whatever, but that individual or person or energy has something to say, you just simply don't know their name because simply they don't have one.
Well, that and names are for us. Are names for them or are they for us? They're actually for us.
For us.
So
for us.
If you're going to actually get super technical, the fact that any of the faiths out there acknowledge that there's, quote, a angel, that's their acknowledgement that there's at least nine ETs out there. Because angels are not human, therefore they have to be extraterrestrial. So they're saying that, well, there's at least nine of these ETs. So therefore, who knows whether they even use names, whether they even,
I don't
you know,
think
names
they
even
do.
Matter.
I don't think they do. I think we're the ones who have to have language. I think we are the ones who, that's the only way we know in certain realms to communicate. I think that language is lost in many ways on the other side. They just simply don't need that. Not in my ears.
Somebody pointed this out
to
me. Humans mm-hmm. are the only ones that really need, as we say, this verbal language. I mean, just look at cats. Cats don't make noise to each other. They just mentally talk. And they know, you know, I mean, seriously. So
yeah, they do.
We're the ones that make, turn sounds into words or vocabulary that mean something. But we're the only ones. Isn't that odd? I mean, think about that. We're the only ones that really do that.
When I was studying more about dolphins, and the way that they communicated with each other is when I recognized what I call that psychic sonar. When you send out your signal as a parent, sometimes you send out mm-hmm. that signal to check on your children. You're not necessarily
exactly.
calling them by phone. You're just sending out that psychic signal. It hits the child. It makes that ping. They get it. It comes back to you, and it says, yes, they're fine. Not to worry.
And
your child is
okay.
Stop
for a moment. If you could stop for a second. What is sonar?
Sure.
It's just a vibratory energy. That's all it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ding. That's all it is. And they measure
yeah.
the frequency of the return to calculate how far away it is, how big it is, all that. Yeah.
Right.
The
so
most
they'll
important
know what's
aspect,
out there.
Exactly. And the most important aspect of animal communication is teaching animals to be able to communicate with us. I mean, that's
right.
really what it is. Okay, so if you want to get through to me what it is, you're going to have to draw me a picture or say it because I don't get this telepathy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
right.
most people say. But then
right.
you get around experienced horse traders or cat people or whatever, people that are around, especially intuitive animals, dolphin traders, and they go, oh, we don't have to talk. I know what she's thinking. She just has to look.
Yes.
You know, or, yeah, because they,
yeah.
they've learned.
Did you see that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that means they've learned a higher level of nonverbal communication. Verbal communication
right.
is not the be-all and end-all. It's the last way we have to communicate. We should be communicating up here in the nonverbal realm, but we don't.
Right.
Because half of us
well,
don't
you,
even real.
Don't you think that part of this COVID-19 that's keeping people in let's say quarantine, sequestered, whatever, however you want to term that, that is part of what we're mm-hmm. having to do is to really hone our skills as far as that's like what I call the psychic sonar. I know
I
when
it's
I first
separating,
started
those that are that have it from those that don't. I mean, it's helping
yeah.
a lot of people suddenly go, wait. I think I've got something going on here that's way above what I thought, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So they
totally
would actually
agree.
Have to get quiet enough to hear it, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, and that's part of the deal of what's happening to get people to where they're not surrounded by so much of that. Well, like you were talking about, like with Whitesnake, so it's not so much noise that they can actually hear what's going on or hear what's
How many
being presented.
Times? How many times have you or I been to an investigation where we have said, and sometimes I have to have people point this out, but have said, well, it's making me feel like sad, happy, elated, frightened, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're relating to an emotion that we're feeling, not an actual, oh, Spirit Joe over here just said, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not at all what's happening. What's happening
mm-hmm.
is we're feeling sad or we're feeling happy, or you know, that's the difference. And we're feeling it because it didn't seem sad. Hey, I'm this. Hey, I'm that. It's just, you know, giving us the feeling.
Yeah.
And so we feel that. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense
I don't know.
To me.
Right
Absolutely.
After I said it,
that
I was
totally
kind of
makes
like,
sense.
I kind of,
no,
I
no.
Sort of confused
that
myself.
Totally makes sense. Because there's been several. Well, I mean, and we do have a tendency to say, well, now, those of us that do some investigations, and we will say, well, you know, what I'm hearing is something totally different. Or I hear,
mm-hmm.
or I'm seeing something, or I feel like that is something, or I, you know, we're trying to use all the senses to where not just one, where we're trying to develop as many as we can, because it's like a toolbox. You want to have as
yeah.
many tools as possible, because it will give you a lot
exactly.
more information than just relying on the one tool, which I try to teach people. Is the more tools in your toolbox, the more. It's like learning foreign languages to me. And the more different languages,
yeah.
the more you learn different languages, the more you can communicate with more people on the globe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That
Right.
That is exactly it. The problem is we always try to complicate it, or we always try to explain, justify, understand, whatever you want to use as the word, it through an allegorical tale. And, you know, if you try to really understand and justify Santa Claus, you're going to come up short, I guarantee you. You know, I mean, you just are, because it doesn't make sense. There's no logic to it. Well, that's what happens with these religious things. And then when they don't make sense, they go, well, you got to believe. You got to have faith. Well, I got to have faith that there's Santa Claus, but that doesn't mean he exists, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what
absolutely.
I mean.
Well, let me ask this next question, because we're talking about religion and those kinds of things. So this question is from Wendy. And Wendy's question is, Dr. Chuck, is there a difference between the name of Lucifer and the name of Satan?
Oh, yeah.
Is there?
One actually is a name, and one is not a name, Wendy. Very good question. Depending on how deep you want to dive on this, Lucifer, okay, the being we know as Lucifer, is the only one associated with rebellion or choice of negativity, just positivity, which we explain as God. He is, or Lucifer, the creature, I don't know if it's a he, they seem to say it is, is the only one mentioned by the Bibles, by the Talmud, by the Quran, by any of the ancient texts. I mean, not just the Abrahamic, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, but all of them. He's mentioned a few times. And he's called, you know, some people refer to him as the Prince of Darkness and all this. But he's the only one that we know of from a scriptural standpoint is actually not good. Okay? There's no devil. Nobody really says that. And the word that's used in the devil, by the way, has about 15 different meanings from the original Aramaic. So the devil, the word devil, was just the word that fit the narrative at the time. Lucifer, oddly enough, is not described as horrible, horn, red eyes, big fangs. He's described as God's most beautiful creation. As a matter of fact, that's supposed to be the whole reason he screwed up, prideful. So the only scriptural reference from all of the faiths out there is Lucifer being bad, and he's beyond belief gorgeous. So this idea of an ugly, horned, forked tongue, tailed devil, cloven hooves, and all that's all man BS. I mean, that's really what it is. That's literally what it is. The actual description we have from the scriptures, if you want to use them as a reference, they say Lucifer is beyond belief gorgeous. So picture a beautiful woman, Ivanka Trump. There's somebody everybody's kind of weirded on. So is she really attractive? Yeah, she's beautiful. Well, that doesn't mean she's good just because she's beautiful. She can be the height of evil, according to what the scriptures say. All the images that are out there of these horrible demons and devil faces and all that, that's just all made up. Or best guesses. There are no pictures of a real demon. There are no scriptural accounts of what they look like, or any kind of historical account for that matter. There are postulations by very learned people, yeah, but they're just basically extrapolating appearance with mental attitude, and we know already that's not true. So as far as Lucifer goes, apparently there is something in his history where he chose wrongly, and as a being that doesn't have free will, he's stuck in that choice. But he's gorgeous. I mean, there's no reason to think he isn't. That's exactly what the scriptures say. Now, Satan, on the other hand, did that help that question?
Absolutely.
You think I answered that? Okay.
Absolutely, because
so,
I didn't realize that Lucifer was the one that was the gorgeous one.
He is.
And
he's the northern light of the north. Yeah.
Yeah, the light of the north, yes.
Satan comes from the root word, which in what you and I know is English, that actually came from Sumerian, is Satam, S-A-T-A-M. And Satam is not a proper name, but rather a title, okay? And in the translations from the Sumerian, which comes actually from the cuneiform tablets, Satam means guardian of the garden, which, for the sake of the creation story, was Eden, all right? So Satam is like mayor or governor or president, or it's a title. There could be any number of Satams, okay? So Satam,
right,
which then became Satan in English, there's no such person as Satan. There's no personage as such as Satan. That's just a term that's gotten bastardized and, as I like to say, Kleenexed over the centuries. And what I mean by that is when you hand somebody a tissue, they usually refer to it as a Kleenex, regardless of what it is, just because that name got associated with facial tissue. So Satan really doesn't exist. And so when you look at, like, the scriptures that are the Old Testament, the Old Talmud especially, from Jewish scrolls, the term Satan was arbitrarily put into that translation. That is really not the term that should be in there. Talking Daniel about Satan was talking with God. There is no such thing as Satan. Satan's not a person. If it was anybody talking with God, it would have been Lucifer. But they don't say that either. So it just throws a monkey wrench into the whole idea of, quote, Satan. Because in absolute reality, and I'm not on the devil's side trying to convince you he doesn't exist, I'm just saying his name ain't Satan. He may exist, but Satan is not his name. Satan is from the Sumerian word Satam, which comes from the cuneiform, from the, quote, Anunnaki, whether you believe that or not. And it's a title. It's not a proper name. So I don't know if that helps. Probably makes it more confusing.
Wow.
Because I think in reality it kind of does. But, you know, Google Satam, S-A-T-A-M. Google Sumerian cuneiform translations. It's all in there. You'll learn that the Garden of Eden is two words, not one. And the E is man, and den refers to a like farmyard or animal pen. So the Garden of Eden was not this beautiful, lush, tropical, or whatever you want to think of it as garden. It was where all the cows and cattle were kept. Only the ones that are being kept were us, not cows and pigs. So,
wow.
And the person who had the title of Satam was the one who, quote, was in charge of that animal pen. And then you can get into all the studies of, you know, Enlil and Enki, the ruling Anunnaki, and how they fought and who spliced the human DNA. I mean, oh my gosh, we can go out for hours. We don't have that kind of time. But to just answer your simple question, Lucifer, that's the only one described as E in the Bible, by the way. And then secondly, you know, I described as beautiful, by the way, too. God's the most beautiful creation. So that puts it up there pretty high. Then with Satan comes from the word Satam. That's the root. And Satam is actually a title, not a name. So all these things just got sort of twisted over the years, the centuries, into characters. And then, not unlike Santa Claus, they sort of got a visual to go with it. And, you know, here we are. But is it real? Well, when the fat chubby guy comes down my chimney, I'll tell you it's real. But haven't seen it so far.
Well, and there were all those kids going, well, we don't have a chimney, so what are we supposed to do? So then you have to go,
well,
you have to unlock the door. We had the front door unlocked, or the back door unlocked, or through the window, or whatever
beauty,
it was.
The beauty of you. Why did I never think it was my dad who drank, or poured out, probably knowing him, half the milk, and took a bite or two out of the cookies. Duh, why did that thought never cross my mind? Well, because I didn't want to even think that. I was convinced there was some fat guy coming in the back door, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's powerful.
Well, I wasn't going to question it.
Who was going to do that? Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
if you're
going to
wind
up
getting presents, if you're going to get presents and toys and treats, I'm not going to change my mind that that person's not
there.
I'm going to stick with it. Absolutely. Of course.
I'm with you 100%. So, Wendy, I would suggest, at least on the Satan or Satan issue, do some research. You know, my ultimate, and I think Liz is the same way with all of this stuff, it's trust but verify, always. You may very well find something that I missed, and I would love for you to point that out. You know, point me wrong, prove me wrong. That's fine. That's how I learn. When I stop questioning and just start accepting, that's when I get in trouble. Secondly, do some research, you know, on the history of Satam, the word. Where did it come from? What did it actually mean in Sumerian? The history of the Garden of Eden. You know, I mean, you can pronounce it Eden. It's supposed to be correctly Eden. But, you know, study the history of it. Find out where it came from and what the traditional pre-Christian beliefs were. Before they messed with the creation story. So, you know, that'll help you. And if you get a different conclusion than me, then, you know, hey, that's great. That's part of the whole idea of having a brain. We could disagree, come to a different conclusion than me. That's the whole point. It's fine.
Right.
But that's been what I've learned. So.
Wow.
It's pretty scary when you realize, give you some idea why I left the church. I figured I can't be a part of this. Oh my God, this is all such craziness.
I think that's important. I think knowledge is power. I do. I think knowledge is power. And I love finding different categories to go and do research on just for that one reason.
C.S. Lewis.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
C.S. Lewis, I think, said it best. You know, he was a atheist for over 50 years, I think, of his life. And I don't remember the exact quote, so I apologize. I'm probably butchering it. But it was basically, I'm not worried that God is mad that I doubted him or actually railed against him, demanded proof, whatever, because in my doubt, I learned the truth. Because I questioned, I learned the truth. And I have never seen that proved more strongly than in those who are convinced they know the truth. And, you know, it's deep, I know, but you have to think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, my God, wow. Did I really assume God was such a trivial little weenie that if I got mad, he was going to be like, oh, shit, Chuck's mad. What are we going to do? You know, God's like, get over it. He'll get over it. He'll figure it out. Yeah. Hey, actually, he's thinking. That's why I gave him a brain, to make him think. That's the whole point. He's on the right track, you know.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I found that proven, emphatically by those who were positive they had the truth, which, good Lord, have we not all lived that, you know? So, question, Wendy, you're on the right track.
Well, that's just incredible. You are just a wealth of knowledge. Oh, my God. We hadn't even touched the surface on any of this.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That you have. It is. It really is. Well, we're out of time. I know it is crazy, but we're out of time, and I still have questions, and I apologize to those. I will make sure that we have those on the next show. If you want to send a question.
If you want, you can email those to me privately, and I'll try with an email return or something, and I'll try to get back to them. I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be... for those who want to get in touch with Chuck, be sure and go to ghosttalk2020@gmail.com. And if you want to send me something, just send me an email through makeitsonetwork@gmail.com. And then that way you have an option to either get in touch with Chuck or set an appointment with Chuck to get some readings done, anything along those lines. Or you can get in touch with me the same way. But if you have questions that you want to send in to us pertaining to Ghost Talk and whatever it is that we're going to be talking about, you know, what we've discovered is this isn't just about Ghost Talk, that we're just going into all these different categories and directions, and we're just opening this all up. So if you have a question or a ghost story that you want to share with us, or you've had a paranormal experience that you want to share with us, be sure and send it to us or give us a call next month and tell us what your story is and ask Chuck those questions. I mean, tonight was just incredible because I just could kick myself because I knew that thing about the EMF meter and I just totally forgot about it while that thunderstorm came through. And it would have been just a classic visual for me to see that thing in its glory when there's a storm coming through. I just cannot believe I forgot that. Hey. I just totally forgot all about that.
You'll get it. Okay, so make a note.
I'll get it next time.
Supposed to rain again on Saturday, so maybe Saturday.
Okay, I'm writing myself a note right now. People think we're joking. I'm not joking. I'm very serious. I'm making my notes now. Okay, Saturday.
People think I'm joking
EMS.
When I say I'm wearing pants.
Well, you know, and we learned
you.
Tonight.
Yeah. My cats don't have tons of chicks on them, do they? I
don't. Well, we learned about Archangel Bob. Now that was worth just coming in. Archangel Bob.
And I can make you think I'm smart in my underwear. So that's really, that makes me feel better. So.
Oh, my God. Oh, gee. Okay. Well, again, I'm just blown away by your knowledge. You are just one of the most fascinating people I've ever talked to. I just love this show. This is just so,
Thank
I had
you.
Such a
I
great
appreciate
time
it.
Doing this show with you. It is just awesome. You are just awesome. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up, and we will be talking with you again in the near future. Don't forget, we'll be here in September the 16th.
16th, yes.
Yeah. Make the plans now. God bless you, dude. I was just kind of guessing there for a second. Shouldn't it be like
no,
the 16th?
I had to
yeah,
check. You didn't think I'd know that. Good Lord. Are you kidding?
I was really hoping you would check that just to verify.
No problem at all.
All right. Anything
that's
you want
it.
To
God
add
bless.
Before
Stay
we
safe.
Wrap it up?
Please.
Absolutely.
No,
all right, everybody. Take care and we will see you next month. And don't forget to get in touch with us. It's very simple. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. What?
I feel the need to just say real quickly before we have to go, should something occur, whatever, that requires us to get on sooner, do you think that would be a possibility?
Sure.
I mean, if there was some big energy shift, something major occurred, could we? I'm just telling you, I'm blurting.
You know.
I just the feeling led to say that, so.
You know, I started to get it. Maybe this is where all this got started. I'm just going to add a couple more minutes to the show. When the explosion took place, where it was that drastic explosion that was so intense, the thought had run across my mind, gosh, I need to get in touch with Chuck. And ask him what he thought about the energies that surrounded that major explosion. And, you know, like we talked earlier, I was kind of just distracted. You know, it almost felt deliberate, but it was like, okay, I'm going in a different direction, or I need to be doing this, or I need to be doing that. And it just never came around. But I would say for true, if there's a major event that takes place, and you feel the need that we need to be on the air, then we will be on the air. Or if something comes up, just let me know. We can do that.
Excellent. That's the deal. You got a promise for me.
Yes. All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll make that happen. Sure. We can always do that. Okay.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for your work, hon. It's so appreciated.
Oh, I appreciate you. I just appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for all your knowledge and your guests and for sharing it with everybody and with us and especially with me. I just thank you so much.
Okay. Well, hey, you're most welcome for sure.
Okay. All right, everybody, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up. Everybody stay safe, but be careful. Try and think some positive thoughts for the rest of the week. It will make you feel better. I mean, trust us, it really will. And until next time, we will be talking to you, and it could be sooner than you think. So until next time, we're signing out. Everybody take care. We'll see you later.
All right. God bless.